Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 227 of Beyond the Supernatural, and we've only got 15 minutes. If I stumbled on that a little bit, it's because it's true. We only have 15 minutes. I set a timer. I set this timer for myself because I wanted to do this episode in a state of ideally panic, but at least if I can work up a certain amount of perturbation, a certain amount of frustration at myself, a certain amount of stumbling over my own feet, because today we are starting the horror monsters section. I'm sorry, they're not specifically horror monsters. That's a little slip of the tongue. They're just monsters. They're whatever monsters the author saw fit to put in this book, and he had very specific criteria. More on that at a later date. But they're all treated like horror monsters because of the text on this page. If you can hear a little bit of sloshing there, that's my water that I brought with me. So I would not become parched in case I don't know, scream, have an outburst because of the tension. Here's the thing. The author of this book felt the need to explain something that I think for most of us is fairly intuitive about horror stories. Certainly one would think that if you're writing a horror game for horror fans, that everyone would be on the same page about this. But this author, not so. This author has, one feels, a little bit of a beef with horror movie storytelling. It's one of those things like, you may remember back in Heroes Unlimited, in the wizard section, there's this whole bit about like, well, when wizards say magic spells, the words you hear out loud aren't really magic spells. They're fake decoy words, because otherwise, wouldn't you just repeat what a wizard said and then steal their spell? It's one of those things that this author got into their head and wouldn't let go, and had to write rules to explain to his own satisfaction and no one else's what the rationalization is for why things work the way they do. In this case, the thing that has stuck in the author's craw is, in fact, I'll quote it to you. It comes from the previous page, actually. Quote, "Think about the level of power these demonic fiends possess, especially creatures of myth and legend, let alone characters from modern films. A solitary vampire or lesser demon, let alone a powerful demon lord or dark god, could waltz into an office building and just go room to room, killing every single person they encounter. 100, even 1,000 people could be slaughtered in a short time, and no one would be able to stop it. So why don't the monsters do so? Why don't these supremely powerful, evil beings just do as they please and kill whomever they desire whenever they feel like it?" This is the kind of question that one asks if one is, for example, a teenage boy hanging out with other teenage boys and, I don't know, like playing HeroClix or like writing up characters in a role-playing game. You know, you're sitting around and you're all 14 or 15 years old and you've got your copy of, you know, Marvel Superheroes or Heroes Unlimited or whatever, and you've gotten it into your heads to write up like Michael Myers from the Halloween movies as a supervillain. And you're giving them such high levels of everything, like, oh, well, they've got to have super strength, they've got to have invulnerability, they got to have extraordinary PE, since we see that he doesn't fatigue and he must have gone from point A to point B. If you look at the geography of that town, he must have gone at full speed all the way there, and he's not winded when he gets there. So, and you start to think, why is this motherfucker walking around with a meat cleaver or a chainsaw or whatever, as the case may be, according to, you know, whatever film you're watching? Why is he going to all this trouble to kill one person when really he's got a target-rich environment? Nobody can stop him. I'm looking at these numbers on this character sheet that I just filled in. I don't see any way that the United States military can bring this guy down, certainly not the National Guard. Why doesn't he go, Punisher kills the Marvel Universe style, to his local National Guard armory, take that place over, get himself some heavier equipment that he can use at a distance, and just kill everyone, just kill every human being? Because it seems like he should be able to, right? Nothing can stop this guy. It's because that movie would be stupid. That's the reason why they don't do it. It's also because horror movies only need to make sense from a certain perspective, right? Like, you have to be able to empathize with, here's this character, crazy shit's happening to them. How would that make me feel? If I were that afraid and I were faced with something so incomprehensible, how would I act? And as long as that works, we don't really need to get into like, but what is this situation like from Michael Myers' perspective? What is this like for Jason? You know, what is he doing in between scenes? Like, well, I saw him over behind that tree, and then the next time I saw him, he appeared suddenly in the window. How did he cover that distance? What was he thinking about? What was he doing during that time? He didn't kill anybody all weekend, I see, consulting my calendar of the film's events. What was he doing all weekend? These are questions we're not meant to ask. They're not important. Jason, Michael, all these characters, they're monsters. They're just monsters. That's not enough for the author of Beyond the Supernatural. We need a rational explanation of why horror movie monsters do all this spooky shit instead of just methodically going from room to room and killing everyone they see before anyone can mount a resistance, like a player character would if they were an invincible psychopath with a machete. Apologies to those of you who are player characters who are invincible psychopaths with machetes. I know you're out there. I do see you. But the author is saying, why don't they behave like player characters? And the answer the author gives is the dumbest thing on this page. It's because, as it turns out, in the world of Beyond the Supernatural, demons kind of feed on like negative emotions. And so all this horror movie shit that you see in horror movies, it turns out, can be rationalized in Beyond the Supernatural. As a GM, you should have monsters appearing to people, like, you know, the person's brushing their teeth in the morning, and then they open the medicine cabinet to go get whatever, and then they close it, and then all of a sudden, shock, reflection, there's the killer standing behind them. But then when they turn around, then the monster's not there anymore. Monsters in Beyond the Supernatural should totally do that to people. Not because of some, like, limitation in their powers, or because the person looking in the medicine cabinet, like, had a momentary psychic vision or whatever. It's just because monsters love to fuck with people. That's what they're in it for. They kill, but more as like a means to an end to get jump scares, basically. And then only after they've really beaten someone down psychologically do they feel like, okay, I've played with my food long enough. Let me go ahead and wrap this up. This person's not getting any more scared. On their way home from work yesterday, they got into their car and I sat up in their backseat. They didn't even flinch. They're dead inside at this point. I'm not having fun anymore. So let's put an end to this and let me go on to the next person. On a certain level, I kind of respect this bullshit rationalization of how monsters are supposed to operate, of bringing horror movie tropes into Beyond the Supernatural. Clearly, the author wanted this to be the horror game that uses the horror tropes, and it is just in the author's personality that he felt a need to come up with some rationalization, however thin, to make that make sense to a mind like his, which is fine. Like, there are lots of players who think the same way. There are lots of GMs who give them a Jason or a Michael or a Freddy Krueger or whatever, will say, okay, well, let me stat this out completely and then see what this character is capable of, and naturally ask themselves, what are optimal combat tactics when you're a Jason? It gets very un-horror movie, right? So the author is doing great work here in making sure that he and other people like him have an excuse to make their game, you know, fun and exciting and not silly and boring. However, keep in mind that this is trench coat horror, which most often involves an aspect of investigation. This is not a different kind of horror that you'd see in like a slasher movie, where typically there's something going on that the protagonist eventually sort of pieces together, but it's not really about making sense of it. It's about like coming to believe in the supernatural threat, coming to be able to confront it, having some sense of like what you're going to need to do to get through this. It's more of like a survival story, right? That maybe has a key to it. Whereas in trench coat horror, very often, you're looking for the nature of the thing you're up against. You're looking for like the significance of the conspiracy that's happening all around you. There's like a hidden secret you've got to unearth, or there's something from your past that's finally going to come back and resolve itself, you know, buried secrets coming back. There's a lot of that shit going around. There's likely to be a mystery in your campaign. And, you know, in Beyond the Supernatural, pretty much all of the player characters are presumptively paranormal investigators. So it is somewhat frustrating that per this little bit of setting building on this page, the answer to many of the mysteries you will face as a paranormal investigator, you know, whether it's a ghost haunting, whether it's like a demon possession or whatever, the answer to why is this happening to me? Like, why did I see the apparition at the graveyard? You know, I'm waking up with scratches all over my body. What is doing this and why? The answer is going to be to fuck with you because it's spooky. The monster could just kill you in your sleep. I mean, the monster has hands. It knows where you keep your knives. It could just kill you, but it chooses not to. Instead, it gives you little mysterious scratches for no special metaphysical or symbolic reason, just because little scratches are spookier and will make you worry more. That is a very unsatisfying reveal to a paranormal investigation. And I think paranormal investigators will be rightly disappointed if that turns out to be not only the occasional, but the very frequent of their investigations. Another dickhead monster in the books. Another ghost who just liked to scare people so much, they thought, boy, why don't I just haunt their bathroom and pretend to be a dead person floating in the tub, and then when they go to call someone to look at me, then I, like, scamper away with my little wet ghostly feet while they're out of the room getting somebody, so when they come back, then there's nobody there, and then they start to question their own sanity. Just for ectoplasmic shits and giggles. It's a frustrating reveal. At a certain point, you're going to feel like, you know, why even bother investigating? Like, what does the ghost want? The more important question maybe is, do I care? Do I really need to know what the ghost's deep motivation is that makes it so fond of just fucking around with people? Do I really need to know why this Jason wannabe that the GM has introduced is lurching toward people with an axe and then, like, sneaking away in the bushes, like, waiting for the opportune scary moment to appear in their peripheral vision and start walking slowly toward them? Because that's a lot to engineer, too. If you take away the rule of, like, spookiness, that just whatever the director says happens and would be scary happens, what you're left with is, if you're going to make, like, a slasher movie type storyline, that motherfucker needs to have a golf cart. They need to have a whole operation behind the scenes. They need to be essentially LARPing a horror movie for the benefit of their victim. And that's silly, especially because what if the player characters find them out? I think that's the dumbest thing. What if you catch the Jason wannabe riding around on his little golf cart where you weren't supposed to see him? You know, he's going to, like, go to the spot that he's planned out ahead of time so that he can suddenly appear looming at you. And you're like, how did he get here so fast? But you make your, you know, perception roll. And so instead you see him on the way in his little golf cart, or you catch the demon hiding behind your drapes waiting to set up a scary middle of the night ambush. The risks are high for the demon's credibility. The risks are high for the fun and the satisfaction of your campaign. And it just seems unnecessary. You know what? If you want to run a horror game, run a horror game. You hear that? That's my alarm. It got me. I let myself go off in a rant, and I wasn't able to wrap up maybe the way that I wanted to. This episode isn't going to have a neat conclusion. It's not going to have a theory, a rationale, a wrap-up like I like to usually give you, and like I'm giving you right now. And maybe that's appropriate, because the best horror stories, even trenchcoat horror, don't necessarily need to resolve in terms of logic, in terms of world building. The mystery of the horror need not necessarily be solved. It's enough that the right questions be asked and that the answers to those questions be frightening and satisfying. And I think this little bit of world building about demons is just the opposite. It's the wrong question to ask, and it results in situations where paranormal investigators will find answers in their investigations that expose their supernatural foes as much less interesting and cool than they initially seemed to be. Nobody wants to see Jason in a golf cart. Join me next time as we get a look at the complete list of monsters found in the remainder of Beyond the Supernatural and make a wild guess about why these particular monsters were selected on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Megadumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.